Okay, guys. Well, welcome again to another TDC Connected meeting. We've got a lot of good information to share today, and it sounds like we've got a real good group, as always, on the line. But I'm going to have you go ahead and unmute your line, so please hit star 6 on your line so you and Jack
Hello.
Can join the conversation. Cool. We're really excited. We have Jack Hawkins here. He's from the Dallas area. Many of you guys have known and met him at the past TDC conventions. He's also a pretty common contributor on these TDC Connected meetings. And, of course, you'll all have the opportunity to meet and network with him and all your other fellow TDC owners at the upcoming meeting in October. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But Jack's come in for some advanced training, and we're just real glad to have him here. Jack, how's the training going, sir?
It's going great. We're learning all about the electrics.
And so in a day plus 2 hours, how's it gone so far?
It's been great. We've been through cables and WAs and several hand pieces, and I got them apart and put them back together. They've actually run, so I guess we're making progress.
Well, if they run, that's good.
Yeah, we're lucky to have Jack in today, and we really appreciate that. I want to make sure that everybody knows the open door policy with respect to you guys and gals. Come here, visit with us anytime, spend a couple of days, spend a week with us, retraining, electrics, everything else. If you're not picking up the electrics, which some of you are not, and at a minimum sending them to the corporate office, even better, repairing them yourself by coming out and going through 2 days of rigorous training with Bud, I think you're leaving something on the table. So, Jack, we're really excited to have you here, buddy. Appreciate you coming.
Well, that's very true what you said, Steve. It's exactly why I'm out here is I've seen more and more electrics, and while Bud and John both do a great job of turning around and getting them back to me, I thought, well, it's better to come out here and learn them and relieve that backlog here and also can keep it and turn around quicker at the house.
I think a lot of people, and Jack, you may have had this too, a lot of people had a little bit of fear on the electrics initially. I do know that I still talk to franchise owners that do have a little bit of fear on repairing them, and it's good to have that fear. In other words, to not just go into them and shear the fiber optics off and break a head off and cost yourself several hundred dollars. So that part of it's good, but to be too fearful to learn how to do them is not. And I think the tooling, I was talking to Jack about this last night, the tooling that's available now for the disassembly and the reassembly of these electric hand pieces is just even 10 times better than 3-4 years ago when he first released a little initial tooling kit for these things. And so it just makes repairing these things a piece of cake. I know that the guys got backed up there a couple of months ago, and I went back in the shop and started repairing these electrics for the first time in years and was a little nervous myself, even after doing them years ago, to step back in there a couple of months ago and start fixing some electrics for the guys. Just, I was a little bit uneasy initially, and Bud's shown me 2 or 3 or 4 new tools that have come out that just made it so easy. I just shook my head as I thought everybody should be doing these. So if you aren't doing the electrics, please, please consider coming out here for some training or at least talking to Bud about a couple of the new little gadgetry and little tooling that make it so much easier to do. Didn't really need to get on my soapbox there, but if you aren't doing the electrics, please consider coming out here for a day or two and learning how to do them. You're going to be glad you did. I know Jack didn't do them in the past. At the end of one day, yesterday, he had repaired and was very confident in fixing the Kevo LPAs, the Kevo 25 LHAs, and they had even done the once very feared W&A 99 LT. So if you can master those three, you've got it, because the NSK is simply changing a drive shaft and a turbine, and you're pretty much done. So it was the Kevos and the W&Hs that folks were running into a little trouble on. Bud, how many tools do you think have come out since that initial toolkit on those electrics?
Well, we've got the complete LPA setup. We've got the drive shaft tool for the LHA, and then we've recently received the tool for disassembling the drive shaft without damaging the top bearing.
So now we can disassemble that drive shaft very easily. We can reassemble it easy and also do the turbine cartridges pretty easy.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. And then the tail assembly, that's still a little fidgety. It's not like you'll break something. It's just kind of tedious to get that thing apart,
right.
Get those balls back together. Okay. It's not like you're going to break anything. You just might lose the little ball.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, anyway, guys, we're glad we have Jack Hawkins out here today, and we're glad to have him. He's been fun, and he's learning a lot, too. So anybody, just consider doing that. Now, moving forward with some of the topics that we had mentioned covering, we talked about covering the MRL shipping update. That's the merchandise return label that the U.S. Post Office is going to in lieu of the business reply label. Tim Anderson in Arizona and I have done a ton of research. We've been into our local offices. I've talked to the district manager for all of Southern California. I know Tim's been in Phoenix talking to the head guy for the entire state of Phoenix. So we've got some information to share with you on that. Believe it or not, as many phone calls and visits that we've had with our respective guys, they're still not 100% sure what's going on with it. I do have some good information that's got us a long way forward, and I'll share that with you. You guys all got an email from me on that RPM application for your smartphone. John Wagner in Florida came across that and called me immediately. He's like, Dave, you got to check this thing out. It measures the RPMs of your high-speed handpieces and the decibel level of the handpiece. And it's a free app on just your Google or your iPhone or your Android app store. So what I did is I created an instruction sheet, guys, on how to download that application. It's really awesome. If you haven't had a chance to look at it, it's simply an application that you download to your phone. You click on it. It brings up basically a decibel and RPM gauge. You zero them out, and then you run the handpiece. And Bud and I were amazed. It's pretty darn accurate. They say it's within 2,500 RPM. Which is pretty close when you consider you got a handpiece running at 400,000 RPM. So it's off by 2,000. If it's within 2,000 RPMs, you're good, because you know if a high-speed handpiece that's supposed to run at 400,000 RPM, if it's sitting there running at 200,000 RPM, you know you got a problem. If it's running at 398,000 RPM or 402,000 RPM, you know you're pretty good. It also has a decibel reader, which is really, really cool. The only downside to it, initially I downloaded it. It was a free app. It's still free, but it's just a trial version. So you get to try it for 10 uses, they say, on the website. I feel like I've used mine way more than 10 times, and it's still operating under the free app. So apparently after 10 uses, they say you do need to upgrade to actually buy the app, which is $9.99. Of course, for $9.99, it's unlimited usages. I know there's one or two of you out there who actually purchased an RPM gauge years ago, and those things were like $500. And here we are, you know, several years later, you can download a $9 app to your smartphone, and you've got an RPM gauge and a decibel gauge. So it's really awesome. I don't know if any others out there have downloaded that yet or had even heard of it. Like I said, John Wagner in Florida brought it to our attention, so I downloaded it immediately, and Bud and I were testing it out, and it was pretty awesome. So guys and gals, check your email when you get a chance. I emailed out a pretty in-depth instruction sheet with pictures and step one, step two, step three, step four, on how to download the gauge. Unfortunately, according to them, it does not work yet on electrics. Knowing that, of course, you know, I walked back in the shop and tried to use it on the electrics, and it wasn't real accurate. Now, the decibel level is accurate because, of course, that's just noise. But as far as reading the RPM by the electric attachment, it didn't do a very good job because there's so much gear noise going on inside those at a very minute level that this RPM tester picks up that it wasn't able to accurately to measure that. But for all your high speeds, guys, and that works too, you know, this is something that you take right into the office. If guys are talking about something being too noisy, you can take a reading right there in their office, write it down. Let's say it's, you know, operating at 86 decibels than you get at home, maybe change an O-ring up, a spring wash or something else, then take a new reading, and if all of a sudden it's coming out at 72 or 74 decibels, you know, you've hit the mark on that. So I really feel like it's going to be a great tool for you guys. I was excited about the fact that it was a free application, but even at the Dental RPM Pro, which is the $9 or $9.99 application, you're still doing really, really good in comparison with a $500 gauge that used to only test RPM. So pretty excited about that, guys. Check your emails when you get a chance. If anybody has any comments or thoughts on that thing, if they've tried it, go ahead and let us know what your review was. Again, guys and girls, if you want to join the conversation, and I encourage anybody to do so at any point, just hit *6 on your phone. That'll unmute your line. And then, of course, hit *6 again to remute your line after your thoughts have been kind of conveyed. The second thing I wanted to talk about was...
Hi, David. It's John Biera. Sorry, I just wanted to add the Speed app. Just to let everyone know as well, it is available on for Android smartphones. If you go to the Play Store, you can also download that same app for Android-type phones. I just did mine. Haven't had a chance to test it, but it does work.
Okay, cool. And did you download the free app, John?
I did. I didn't pay for it. It's a free app as well on Android phones. I did launch it. It does run. I haven't actually tested it on a handpiece, but I did download the free one.
Cool. I think everybody should do it. It's going to be a great tool to have just if you're in the office and that kind of stuff comes up where you need to just do a real quick check on RPM and or the decibel level. So thanks for that, John. The second thing I was going to talk about, Sable just put out, and I just emailed out to you guys right before I picked up the phone and called in. They've got a new sales sheet, but what they did is they came out with a really sharp, really nice line of slow-speed handpieces, kind of to mimic the NSK line and then the attachment head of a Kavo. So open your emails and check that up. Mike's supposed to get me pricing on all that stuff. It's going to be, you know, really, really inexpensive. I already know that. I think Phil Pichette in New Hampshire already ordered motor, contra-angle, and head for a doctor that really liked it. He must have seen it through their website. So check that out when you get a chance. It's a whole line of slow speed that basically is just beautiful, and it's no longer kind of an aftermarket look like the older Sable motors and contra-angles and stuff were. Now it almost mimics the Kavo and NSK line. So that's pretty cool. Okay, if there aren't any other questions, I wanted to talk to you guys briefly about the business reply label. Tim Anderson did a great job of really kind of getting us going on what's going to be required. I know that Dave Reinhart had done some initial review, and we had a big meeting on that, a TDC Connected meeting. I don't need to take up the whole all of your guys' time with this, but I just wanted to give you guys a quick update. The business reply labels that you guys use, that you guys have on all of your packages that are out there, it's not that they're going to discontinue the use of that for you for the labels that are out there now. They're just going to charge you come January 15th, the cutoff date, right? It's the 15th or the 20th, right around there. The cutoff date, you're no longer going to get the business reply label price. So let's say typically that your business reply label comes in and it's $1.75 that comes off your account for the delivery of that package, you're now going to have to pay the merchandise return label price, which is about a buck more. So instead of that package coming in after January 15th at $1.75, that same package, the same weight, the same everything, even with your business reply label, they're going to bill your account for the merchandise return label price, which is about a buck more. So it's not that your packages that are out there are going to go into la-la land and never be found again. You're just going to get that new pricing structure is going to be implemented, so you will pay $2.75 for the darn thing to come in instead of $1.75, what it might have been. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is they are forcing us to on our new permit. So the next time that you have to file for a permit come, you know, for you guys in January when that date hits, they are going to charge what they call a, let me see, it's going to be a merchandise return service fee, and it is due for each person at each post office. Is it called their, I believe it's called their maintenance fee, and it's $620. Not good, I know. I tried to find out if can we just do one fee here locally at the corporate office, and then you guys get to all share in that at your local level. They said absolutely not. That is a per institution fee. So each post office, that is maintenance fee, is going to be due at that facility. Now the permit fee, which is $220, they believe that we will be able to possibly pay that here and have you guys piggyback on that permit fee. But even that, they didn't give us a definitive answer. So we're trying to find out that information for you. But to have this merchandise return service, it looks like there is going to be a mandatory maintenance fee at your local post office, and it's north of $600 for per year. So that's not good. So you'll need to figure out, you know, roughly how many people use your business reply labels. If it's, you know, if you get 700-800 of these darn things over the course of the year, I guess it's adding 89.90 cents per package your cost to get that, which is still a lot more affordable than if you were doing something with UPS or FedEx, and we get that. But I guess the United States Postal Service decided they wanted to actually make money, so they've instituted this maintenance fee. So if you guys have any questions on that, I'd be happy to answer any of those questions for you. But there is going to be, obviously, they're doing this whole changeover system probably to generate funds for themselves, and so that's what we're looking at right now. Any questions on that, please?
Hey, David. Tony Davis here.
Yeah, Tony.
Sorry, I'm getting in late. I had a dentist I was talking to a while ago. You were talking about the business reply label, that if we use it after January the 15th, they're going to charge us at the MRL label pricing.
Correct.
Now, let me ask you this question. Could we continue using the business reply and not change and just absorb that additional cost?
Now, according to them, no. But my thought in the back of my mind is, well, how the heck are they going to know when – how would they know when you quit sending those out? And the only thing I could come up with is we have a business reply label permit number, as you all know, right?
And it'll expire.
It obviously will expire. So
yeah.
we're gonna attempt to re-up that same permit number. If they allow us to re-up that permit number for business reply labels, then I'm thinking kind of like you are, Tony. Well, let's just keep sneaking those business reply labels out there. We've got that permit number already going and moving forward with it. When are they going to say, okay, the heck with you guys cheating the system with your business reply labels. Now we're going to mandate the merchandise return labels. So at least during the initial transition period, Tony, according to the two people I talked to here locally, which was the branch manager locally here, and then I called the regional manager and had him on the phone. And both of them said they're still going to honor the business reply labels that you guys have out there, but it is going to be charged, you know, because they sit there and they write it out and they compute it. It is going to be charged the merchandise return label price, which is like I said, it's like a buck more per package. So.
Yeah.
I got your thinking there, and I was thinking the same thing, Tony. So it's all going to come down to whether or not they allow us to re-up
the permit number itself.
Which obviously we're going to try and do.
Yeah, because that expires, what, in October?
Correct.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Correct. So we are going to attempt to simply, you know, re-up our business reply label.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they wouldn't let us do it. I've got to believe they will, for the simple reason of we have in October, that system should still be in place.
Yeah. So, and the way I understand the business for Pi label is going to be used on flat mailing.
Flat, less than a quarter
mailing.
Of an inch in thickness.
Yeah, that's what the intent of it is.
Their specifications say if it's less than a quarter of an inch in thickness, you can use the business reply label. If it's over the quarter inch in thickness, you have to go to a merchandise return label.
Yeah.
That's their point. So we're actually, technically, we're going to be able to reissue our permit number, get our permit number reissued here in October, hopefully, before they've implemented the cutoff on the on the merchandise return service. So it's actually, I think it should work swimmingly this October. Now, next October...
Yeah, it could be a different
who
story.
Knows. Correct.
Yeah.
But I've got to believe that this October... Yeah, I'm just saying, I got to believe that this October we should be able to get by with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't see why not. And that's another thing I haven't got over... We got a main post office over in Louisville, Kentucky, and they've got a customer service center in that place versus it's like the regional area for the state of Kentucky. And I haven't got over to have a chance to talk with the person in that department about this MRL setup and what it's going to be and involved. But the way I'm understanding you, $650 annually is roughly what we're going to have to pay for maintenance, and then you guys are going to try to get the MRL permit number, but maybe it's possible we have to even get our own.
Right. That is correct. So,
wow.
And this is me talking to two local reps here and then Tim speaking with his local reps there.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy thinks we might be able to do it, but he's not sure. So it's so funny. You talk to the guy at the post office who that's his job. I mean, this guy's only job is dealing with all this postage paid, all the pre-postage paid mail.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's all he does at the office. He's in the back. He's never up front, you know, helping you in line. He's always in the back doing that. And these guys aren't even sure. But I got to tell you, I downloaded their what do you want to call it? What's it called here? United States Postal Service Parcel Labeling Guide. So that pertains to anything that the Parcel Service you create labels for the whether it's media mail, U.S. Priority Mail, Merchandise Return Service, Business Reply Label, and a slew of other ones that they have.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ever have insomnia, I mean, just download this thing and start reading it. You'll be asleep in like 5 minutes. So it's pretty technical, and just going through the whole thing, I was trying to find a loophole for us to be able to use business reply label. Unfortunately, I didn't find one, and neither did Tim. I downloaded the copy and sent it to him, and he did some research as well. But, yeah, so we're on top of it right now. You are going to be able to use your business reply labels. They are going to honor them. They are just going to charge you the dollar more, whatever that extra fee is. Now, as of right now, the merchandise return labels can be printed without any kind of a barcode or tracking system, much like your business reply labels. Tim got a little bit of brushback from his local guy saying, no, you're going to have some sort of barcode on it. But when I walked down to my post office, he had a merchandise return label that somebody had already had in place and was using. And he let me see that package, and he let me take a picture of their label that they had privately printed for themselves, and there was no kind of tracking information on it. It was just a basic label that looked a lot like our business reply labels.
Cool.
So that was good news, because one of the fears that you guys had was, well, how do we print 500 of these things and pop them on packages and get them out to my customer?
Yeah.
If you've got to have an individual barcode for each one, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You would have to sit at your computer at home or whatever and print each one out individually. Alex Igdalski had come up with a company that had some really, really, really affordable sticker sheets that you could print these things up on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we got all that information out to you guys, so you have that if you do have to print these labels with the tracking on them. So... If we do have to go to that option, we have some information already built up on that. But that's all I had. I didn't want to take up a bunch of your guys' time on these labels. That's where we're at so far. They are still going to honor your business reply labels. I gotta believe they're going to reissue us that permit number again in October. It might be the next October that we kind of get a lot of brush back and have to absolutely switch over to that merchandise return label system. So we'll keep you guys up to date. I just wanted to give you a 10-minute update here, and let you know where we were on that, because I know many of you are already starting to want to plan ahead and get ready for 2015 when this all goes down. So I wanted to talk to you briefly about that. And then lastly, I wanted to talk to you about the National Convention invitation. Those should be going out today. We've got the room rates. They're, I think, $55 on Thursday and $99 Friday, Saturday, which I think they went up $4 or $5 each. So in 2 years, that's not too bad. The registration fee, in other words, the food costs that we all incur, those are the same, so that fee didn't go up. And you guys all have been to that hotel, I think. Many of you have been there all three times. So you all know how to get there. You know the facility. The conference rooms are nice. So it's going to be deja vu all over again as far as the registration and all that you guys are used to and dealing with the hotel and getting set up there. But we're going to have a lot of great new stuff to present. We've got two presenters this year instead of one. I've got some cool stuff I'm working on that's exciting for you as far as with the TDC Connected site and some other training tools. And Bud still wants to get some input from you guys if you do want to have a tech table at the end of the day for an hour. I know many of you kind of are there for more of the business aspects and not necessarily the tech, and that's fine. But we're looking at maybe putting a block of an hour together at the end of the day, Friday and Saturday, for you guys to sit down with Bud and go over something that you all want to go over, plus all the stuff, of course, that Steve's going to present and that I'm going to present. So anyway, those invitations should be going out today as well. So I guess I kind of covered that stuff pretty quickly, but it was good info on that RPM application for your smartphone. You guys got to download that thing. It is cool. You're all going to like that. And any questions, guys? I wanted to leave some time here to open floor. Usually we get some good comments and conversation going. So anybody who has anything they'd like to add or questions they want to ask about anything we've covered or something else, hit *6 on your phone, and we'll be happy to discuss it.
Dave, this is Bailey.
Bailey, yes, sir.
Two things. I want to go all the way back to the beginning to the electrics that you were talking about. Is anything on the horizon from, like, MK Dent on electrics, and what are your thoughts on MK Dent you know, now as a possible, you know, product to sell? I know at one time their turbines were highly unreliable. What are your thoughts there?
Well, on the electric side, I'll go ahead and answer that question. From what I understand, they are pulling out of the electric side.
Okay.
I don't know if they just didn't sell enough. I don't know if their failure rate was too high on that 1-5 electric that they released a few years ago. But according to our MK Dent rep, they are pulling out. When they sell what they've got in stock, they're done. So unfortunately, the electric attachment, MK Dent electric attachment that they released is being discontinued.
Okay.
So hopefully that answers your question. As far as the high speeds go, I don't know. I mean, we had a slew of failures with them about 2 years ago, I want to say, like January 2 years ago, probably 2012. Where
actually, it goes a little bit further back than that, but it was a bunch of them.
It seemed like half of their turbines I sold or half of their hand pieces that you guys sold to your docks had turbine failures, premature turbine failures.
Yep.
And so I think it kind of scared people away. I've sold one here and one there, and it's been kind of sporadic since then as far as guys just kind of backing away a little bit from the MK Dent product. But I'm trying to think here. I think I've maybe had only one failure, maybe two, since that huge slew of failures back then, Bailey. So I think they got their act together as far as that goes, as far as the quality goes on their turbines. Obviously, the price is right? I mean, it's a really good price. They do stand behind their warranty. I'll give them that. They never have declined me a warranty on the handpiece turbine, even if it was a bearing failure that probably the darn doctor just didn't lube the thing. So At least they've stood behind their warranty for us, Bailey. But I think they have figured out their problem, because I just don't hear of the slew of failures like we did there, you know, 2 to 3 years ago, Bailey.
Okay, good deal. My other comment is a comment, not a question. Revisiting Sable, you were talking about their product line. I just subscribed to Dental Advisor, they have a print version as well as an online version, and just happened to see where their handpieces were reviewed by Dental Advisor. And I want to say there are around 25 independent docs that are part of this group, and they evaluate various products. They don't you can't buy this kind of feedback or evaluation. It's just what they do, and let the chips fall where they may. And the Sable 4500 and 6500 got a 4.5 star or 4.5 plus out of 5 rating from their board of evaluating doctors in terms of, they just liked it. And they had some really good feedback from those doctors on the Sable product.
Thanks for adding that. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And Mike did send me that info. I asked him to send me a bunch of printouts of that sheet so that I could just send them to you guys if you wanted to use them for promotional reasons. Like if you walk into your doctor's office, you can actually show them this Dental Advisor stuff. And so he said he was going to do that. But you're absolutely right. I've got one sheet here that rates the 4500 and the 6500. And then I've got another one that just looks like kind of a technical data sheet. And it lists the 4500. And when you look at it versus the cost, Bailey, on handpieces that it actually outperformed, I mean, they've got everything on here from head diameter, length, the dimensional stuff, the weight, the angle of the head, the water spray, the illumination, the torque. They've done a lot of rating on these things, and it's sitting there beating the pants off of handpieces that are, $1,100 and $1,200, which is cool.
That's fantastic. Yep.
So,
absolutely.
Anyway, good news for them, for sure. I'm sure Sable's real, real happy with that, right? But the stuff actually that I was emailing you guys on was that slow speed line, Bailey. And you guys can check your email when you get a chance, but it's really nice stuff. Phil Pichette, I think, was the first guy to buy one of those motors, the irrigation motors, and his doctor loved it, and so he ordered another motor, 2 contra-angles and 2 heads to go with it, which are kind of like they're kind of the Cavo style. They look real similar to the Cavo. They're just really, really nice, so I should be getting those in today or tomorrow. But, it's really cool stuff, and it's really affordable, so it's a great option for you guys to have. I know I actually get a lot of questions from you guys and wondering, well, what new stuff can we get? And although we can get from the handpiece or the Henry Schein Outlet Center, we can get some of the OEM stuff. Some of the stuff that the slow speed motors and stuff that Sable's got is really good stuff. I know I've sold a little bit of here and a little bit there to you guys over the years, but it's definitely worth checking out that sales sheet, because you've got some NSK and some Cavo lookalike stuff that's probably damn near as good.
Outstanding.
Yep. So thanks for that comment. But well timed, Bailey, because I've got Mike sending me those sheets, and also I've got him sending me their new price guide. Remember that catalog? That little, I call it the pocket catalog.
Yes.
That had all their stuff in it. They've created another one. Mike sent me one, and I said, well, okay, can you send me about 70, 75 more? Because I wanted to send them out to all you guys. And it's got all that stuff in it, Bailey.
Super.
So you'll be getting an updated catalog, because I think the last one that they released was 2009. So we're at the 5-year mark on a catalog, so we need a new one. And they printed it, and so we've got them coming.
Outstanding. Do you know if they have their catalog in digital format yet?
They do. It's on their website. They actually have a download board, Bailey, if you go to sableindustriesinc.com. And they've got flyers and marketing materials, and I believe their catalog is on there too. I don't know if it's the entire pocket catalog that I've got here and that you guys have in your shop. But, yeah, they do have a download board, Bailey.
Okay.
It's sableindustriesinc.com, and then it's, I think, one of the tabs at the top says downloads, and that'll take you to that page where you can download their sales sheets or their information. But remember,
sure.
All the pricing that they're going to list on there is the dentist's pricing. You know, they don't list wholesale pricing, obviously. They don't want the dentist to see your wholesale pricing. But, yeah,
right.
So it gives you a good idea on retail, what you want to retail this stuff to your doc for. So it's very helpful.
Super. Thanks.
Yep. You're very welcome, Bailey.
Hey, David. It's Gord here.
Hey, Gord.
Just got a question about W&H Electrics. Are most of the guys fixing their own at this point, or some of them, or what's their experience?
What? Well, I don't sell a lot of W&H product, parts, you know, turbines, gear assemblies, all the kind of internal components that I sell. I can hardly keep them on the shelf for the CAVO stuff because so many guys are doing the CAVO repair, Gord. But on the W&H side, I mean, God, I would say this is just this is a total guess. There's maybe 5 guys I sell that stuff to on a consistent basis. So, no, there's not a lot of guys doing the W&H electrics, and I think it was because they're a little bit finicky. With the CAVOs, it seems like, you know, as long as there's not an obvious dent in the head, if you throw on some turbine bearings and a couple of drive shaft bearings, you're good to go. Well, you do that on a W&H, and it still heats up. And, you know, they're just finicky, so you got to play with them a lot more.
Okay.
So
is there any training coming up for the W&Hs at some point? Or?
Well, we offer any advanced training. Like we mentioned earlier, you got to come out here for it, obviously.
Yeah.
But in fact, Jack trained on W&H yesterday. And according to him and Bud, they got it disassembled and new bearings put on it and reassembled and back in the handpiece, and it was worked great. So, you know, we've got training available for that. So absolutely, Gord. And that could be something that you guys, if you guys want to at least see Bud do at the national convention in the tech table at the end of the day on Friday, you know, we'll take a vote, and whatever we get a couple of votes on, we'll probably get John doing some tech stuff for you guys too, kind of like we had Sean and Bud do last time. We had 2 tables set up and a group of guys around each one of them. So we're looking to kind of do the same thing. The end of the day. So, absolutely, Gord. Excuse me, guys. And by the way, you guys, I know that I mentioned it in an email I sent to you, but go ahead and email you. We've got 5 months here. We're to put together this convention, and not all the blocks of time are taken up just yet, so if there's stuff that you guys want to cover or something that's a real concern to you guys, I know we've gone over pricing before and mailers. We spent a lot of time talking about adding shipping and handling last time. Mel Marks has talked to you guys about the sharpening, which has really started to take off for several of you guys. So we do have some extra time to talk about some of those other things that you guys may want to talk about that isn't yet in the itinerary. So please email or call me with ideas or things that you guys want to discuss. I'll put a e-blast out to the group and see if that's something that you guys want to cover. All right, anything else, guys?
Hey, Dave, this is Jack.
Jack, yes.
I just wanted to ask Alex if he had anything in here that he might maybe want me to work on for him. Alex, are you there?
I am here now. Who was asking?
This is Jack Hawkins from Dallas.
Yeah.
And I'm in here training. I just wondered if you had anything out that you wanted me to work on for you.
Oh, hey, thanks. At least somebody wants to repair my stuff. No, it's okay. When the next time I have 2-3 weeks to wait, I'll send something. Ooh, that was not nice.
Wow.
Oh, I know. I'm just messing with you guys. But thank you for your concern.
Well, anything else, guys? Thanks, Jack, by the way. Opened a can of worms there.
Yeah, I'm not done yet.
Okay, guys, well, I think we covered everything I wanted to cover, and it sounds like we covered what you guys wanted to cover as well. So, again, look in your email a little bit later today for the national convention invitation. I know several guys have already called me and had their plane reservations reserved and have already called the hotel. So appreciate all your guys' participation, as always, Gord and Tony and Bailey and John and everybody else. So thanks a lot, and I guess that's all I had for today's meeting. So have a great day and a great week, guys, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you.